Get ready to stand on guard for the...
Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask Lucky Bastard today how you can make Canada's ultimate Caesar, True North and Strong. Featuring Lucky Bastard's premium dill pickle vodka, LB's famous bacon rimmer, and bacon bitters. It's not a Caesar if it's not Lucky Bastard. Order online or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some Lucky Bastard?
Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast, a proud member of the Hockey Podcast Network and the official podcast of Left Wing Lock. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, Bruce Gunther. Tonight, John ends in consecutive weeks. Good for you, buddy.
Is that what you said last week, too?
Maybe. I guess I need some new material.
Yeah, come on.
Also joining us tonight, special guest, managing editor for GoaliePost.com. And also now, your new gig, a fantasy contributor for Sportsnet. Congratulations on the new role, Mike LaMotto.
Thanks, appreciate it. Happy to be here, guys.
Thanks for having us. So I got to ask, how did you come across that gig? Is that kind of what Nick Alberga was doing for a while?
Yeah, essentially. And he left for a new role. And someone that works at Sportsnet, I knew from way back in the day, probably over 10 years ago, when I was an intern at the Hockey News. He was working at the Hockey News, Rory Boylan. I don't know if you know Rory Boylan, but he's a really good editor. And yeah, he just reached out to me, asked me if I was interested, and yeah, worked out.
And the rest is history, so that's really cool. Yep. I haven't checked to look. Do you have anything up on Sportsnet right now?
No, I'll be starting this week. So I'm going to be doing a mailbag on Friday and then like a fantasy thoughts, 20 fantasy thoughts on Sunday morning. So that'll be for the season, Fridays and Sundays.
Very cool. I've always enjoyed the 20 fantasy hockey thoughts that they do with Sportsnet. So that's,
yeah, I'll try to keep up that standard. So
we know you can do it. For our listeners, if they don't know, where can they find you on Twitter and online, all that kind of stuff?
At @Amato_Mike, and you can find all my work there.
Excellent. Okay, well, tonight we are doing, this is the last of our not regular format, guys. It's top 10 defensemen and goalies. We'll get through the headlines as we always do. We'll go through John's list, and then we'll go through it's GoaliePost.com's rankings, and we've got ours in there for reference as well, but we'll get into that a little bit. And then if there's some time, Michael, I might pick your brain on some draft strategy type stuff. We've got one question for our Ask the Hack segment as well. I'll throw at you.
Oh, sounds good.
Okay. With that, John, did you scramble? Did you put something together for us?
I did. This week's member of the list is Matthew Barzal.
That's fitting.
He comes into the league. He has a fantastic rookie season. Lots of hype, and it's just been steadily downhill since.
We blame that all on Barzal?
No, you can't blame it all on him, but I don't know, just the hype from that first season. I guess playing with Johnny T there, but yeah.
But no. He got paid today. He got a huge deal.
I know. That's why I was like, ooh, yes, I got one. So
well,
he's making me look bad, but.
I think I know the answer here, John. Like, is that too much money for Matt Barzal?
Possibly.
Michael, what do you think?
I am surprised he got that much from Lou Lamoriello. When I saw some of the other deals like Kyrou and Stützle recently, I was surprised he got that much. I kind of think the team that's losing in all this is the Dallas Stars with Jason Robertson. I feel like his price has just slowly been going up over the last few weeks, and like I don't know how they're going to get a deal done. I think a few weeks ago, he was maybe going to get like a $7 million AAV, and now I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's a great segue because we had a question. I wasn't going to ask you this, but someone had asked me, you know, what do I do with Jason Robertson? He drafted the player, and now he's going to try and trade him. I said, I'm getting kind of nervous about the whole situation. And I think when I looked, the Stars had about $6 or $7 million in cap space. So meaning really all they can offer him without making another trade is $6 or $7 million on a one-year deal until Pavelski's money comes off the books next year and maybe they don't re-sign him. I don't know, but you know, what would you do if you were a fantasy manager holding Jason Robertson right now?
I'd probably hold him. Like, I think it just might be similar to the Brady Tkachuk situation last year. Like, maybe he misses a week or something. I feel like they have to get it done. I would bet the Stars are probably going to try and move Khudobin's money off the books somehow. I feel like if they can do that, they could probably sign him to a longer-term deal. But yeah, I just feel like he's too important to the team. Like, they're a playoff team. They can't afford to have him miss, like, a ton of time. But yeah, I think maybe it's just a lesson in sign your players early, because I think they waited a little bit too long. And now, you know, as mentioned, we saw a lot of guys sign in the last month or so, and I think it's really driving his price up.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Bruce, any thoughts on Robertson? You're kind of a big fan of his.
I kind of said this earlier. It's like they had to pick who they were going to pay before the season started. Was it going to be Ottinger or was it going to be Robertson? And they chose Ottinger, and well, it's now coming back to bite them in the ass, because now they're going to have to pony up some pretty good cash to keep him around, unless they can convince him to take a short-term bridge deal, which I really can't see them doing. Like you said, look at what Barzal got paid today, and Kyrou and Thomas. It's going to be a big number. But you look at some other big numbers that are already on Dallas's roster, right? And they're not putting out nearly as much as what Robertson is right now, too. So that big number long-term could scare them a bit, too. They've been burnt twice, if you want to look at Sagan and Ben.
Yep.
Yeah, that's over, a good point. That's maybe why they're a bit hesitant. But yeah, he scores goals, you know? Like, he's got a good scoring rate over his first couple seasons. And yeah, those guys get paid. There's just no two ways around it for Dallas.
Yeah, they gotta find a way to move some money so they can pay him and get him in the lineup.
Yeah,
and from his side too, he doesn't want to sit the season. Like he's gonna try and make this work, right?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, there it is, John's list. John, you're on a roll. That's actually two decent weeks in a row.
I'll take it.
Well done. Good work. Okay, let's move on to headlines with the Hacks. The regular season is basically here, guys. Is it October 7th? We get that game overseas. So if you haven't done your draft already, make sure you go and check out Left Wing Lock. Mike and the guys there have a very nice draft kit that Bruce and I will probably be using tomorrow night for our expert league with Apples and Genos.
It'll get heavily used tomorrow night. There's two of them tomorrow night.
Yeah, the team we won too. So anyway, Bruce, you and I'll have to put our heads together later, trying to figure out what we're doing.
Definitely.
And with that, Bruce, headlines of the Hacks. Take it away, buddy.
All right. So we started the week off with some injury news. We found out that John Tavares is going to be out of the lineup for at least 3 weeks with an oblique strain. And we found out that his former teammate, Ilya Mikheyev, is going to be week to week with a lower body injury. And then our friend, the injury imp, moved down to Boston and took out Taylor Hall he's now week to week. And then after Boston, he took a quick tour up to Ottawa and clobbered Cam Talbot in the ribs. So he's out now for 5 to 7 weeks. If you're an Anton Forsberg owner, you're pretty happy about that right about now.
No kidding.
Oh yeah. I snagged him last night.
There
you
go. Veteran
move.
I think that was it for major injury news. There were some smaller ones. I'm going to butcher his name in St. Louis
Perunovic.
Perunovic, his
injury.
That was a tough one because I thought he would, like, Scandella went down a few weeks ago, and I thought maybe he would, Perunovic would step up and maybe get an opportunity. But yeah, that's too bad for him.
Yeah, not really fantasy relevant, but that's a couple of big hits for the St. Louis blue line. After that, some good news, at least if you're Spencer Knight. He signed a 3-year, $13.5 million contract extension with the Panthers. He's only played 32 games so far with them at the time of this writing. So next season, the Panthers will have $14.5 million tied up in their two goalies.
Yikes. That's a lot.
The kid's worth it, though. Like,
oh, he's worth it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, that game the other day, sorry, Michael, they got outshot 47-10 by Carolina, and he still managed to have a .915 save percentage. Like, I mean, it's preseason and all that, but yeah, Spencer Knight, short-term and long-term, you got to get that kid paid. You stick around, right? Like,
Yeah, he's not the problem. It's just like obviously the Bobrovsky deal. Like they I think they're just stuck with that. I don't see any way they can even if they were to eat like half of the money or get another team to eat some. I don't see how they can get rid of it. Like I think he's like 34 or going to be 34. Like he's getting up there too. Like it's not just like you know some team with cap space can take it on. I guess maybe like I don't know in Arizona or something like that. But it's going to be really tough to get that money off the books.
I've asked this again, like many times. I'm just looking at it again here. So he's a UFA 2026-2027.
Yeah, wow.
So yeah, four seasons at $10 million bucks.
Yeah.
Three years after this, so.
Yeah.
No, I'd agree. That's a tough sell.
Yeah, I pretty much caught, like, I don't know if they make some of the, like, I don't know if they make that Huberto trade if, like, they had more cap space, right? Like, I think they like Tkachuk, but I think giving up him and Uyghur, they probably just felt like, hey, we can't really pay these guys, so we should probably get something big in return.
Yeah, I'm sure they've been trying to trade Bobrovsky for a while. I'm sure they've put out feelers. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Oh, and they're going to ask a mint in terms of draft picks to take that contract on.
Yeah, it's going to have a lot of sweeteners with it. Like, this is really tough. Like, nobody pays that much for goalies now. Like, it's just really rare. So
no. And I think that's why they did this deal for Knight, because if all of a sudden he has some really good showings here in his time he's going to get with Bobrovsky and net the timeshare, his dollar value will just go up and up and up. So they figured they'd head him off now and get him paid and figure it out afterwards.
Well, and they don't have a first round draft pick here until at least 2026. So,
ooh. Wow.
Yeah, like they broke the bank last year.
I think that... was it that Ben Chiarot deal? That deal is looking pretty bad now.
That was rough, yeah. what else you got for us, Bruce?
So some good news out of Philadelphia for Mike. The Flyers announced that Sean Couturier will not need surgery on his back and is now considered week to week. So that's some good news. Some bit of surprising news out of Ottawa, other than the fact that Cam Talbot got hurt. DJ Smith has said the power play one from last year is going to stay the same. And they've got Alex DeBrincat and Claude Giroux on power play two. Now, if it wasn't scary before, that's really scary. Look at Ottawa's first power play unit. Now, all of a sudden, their second one has got Giroux and DeBrincat, and they look pretty darn good here in the preseason so far playing together.
So does that kind of diminish their value a little bit for you, Michael, DeBrincat or Giroux being on power play two?
It could. I think it would depend on how they sort of deploy them, right? Like some teams, you know, they leave their first power play on for like a minute 30 or a minute 40, so the second power play is almost irrelevant. But if they're splitting it for a good minute, you know, each, then probably not so much. But yeah, I think it probably doesn't help. And again, like, who knows what it's going to be a month from now. But yeah, we'll have to see. Like, I have a feeling maybe their plan is to split the time pretty evenly, given how balanced those two units are.
Yeah, that's a good point. Things will change between now and April, right? So
yeah.
Moving on, the Leafs signed RFA defenseman Rasmus Sandin to a 2-year, $2.8 million extension. I guess he saw all the people going down on the Leafs blue line and decided he probably should get in there.
Finally, they got him signed. Yeah, that was a weird one. Like it just felt like he wasn't going to get more than Liljegren essentially, and he was just holding out for maybe to make a point. But I don't know. There's no way the Leafs could give him more, and there's no way he could really ask for more. So it was one of the weirdest like holdouts. And then you saw some guys like Sean Durzi. I forget what he got. Like once he signed for like 1 point, whatever it was, you knew Sandin wasn't going to get more than that. So, but yeah, a lot of injuries right now on the Leafs blue line. That's for sure.
And moving north, the Montreal Canadiens signed goalie Jake Allen to a 2-year, $7.7 million contract extension. So gives them a little bit of help in net here till the younger guys can take over. I don't think we will see Carey Price again, at least not in the net anyway.
It's not sounding good.
No, I'm with you, Bruce. I don't think we'll see a whole lot of Carey Price this season. But does Jake Allen make for a decent 0G option then? Do we have any hope for the Canadiens this season?
I don't know if hope's the right word.
They'll be better than Chicago.
Yeah, they probably are. But yeah, I think he maybe for spot starts, he might be a good option. But I don't think you roster him regularly. But he might play a lot. So if you're in a league that, you know, you need to make starts or you count total saves, maybe. But.
Okay, there you go.
And the last bit of news, which we talked about earlier, Matthew Barzal got a nice 8-year, $73.2 million contract extension out of Lou Amarillo in New York, which is a bit of, as we said, a bit of a surprise. But, and then, as the question for John, is this an overpay?
Possibly.
Based on his production, you have to ask that question, right? But let's hope it's better. Maybe with, is Lane Lambert there now, right?
Well, hopefully the system improves. They can actually play some offense as opposed to playing defense 90% of the time.
Yeah.
I think everyone's hoping Lane Lambert is much different than Barry Trotz, but
fingers crossed, but yeah. Okay. There you have it. There's headlines of the Hacks. Thanks, Bruce. Let's move on to everybody's favorite part of the show. As a member of the Hockey Podcast Network, the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast is a proud partner of DraftKings. Hockey fans, it's finally time to hit the ice again, and thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you're in for the season of a lifetime. New customers can bet $5 on any team and get $200 in free bets if they win. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same-game parlays, combine multiple bets like which team will win and how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $200 in free bets if they do. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And with that, let's move on to top 10 defensemen and goalies. Obviously, Michael being the master of goaliepost.com, we're happy to have you on to talk about this. We're going to evaluate the top 10 defensemen and top 10 goaltenders heading into the 2022-2023 season. We're going to consider league settings, 5-on-5 scoring deployment, last season stats, some underlying metrics, team situation, our own rankings powered by Left Wing Lock, and then, of course, goalie post rankings. So let's kick it off. Probably no surprise at all here. Number one, under defenseman, Cale Makar. Right now he's going in an ADP of 5.5. Is that surprising at all to you, Michael?
Not really. I think he's good value at that spot. I think I had him ranked fourth in my overall rankings, my 250 rankings. I just think when you look at a guy like that can, you know, potentially push 90 points as a defenseman, there's so much value because, you know, you can use sort of some of your forward positions maybe for other categories if you're, you know, in a league that counts hits and stuff like that. If you can get like that kind of offensive production out of a defenseman, which is like extremely rare, it's just so much value. So I think there's definitely a case to be made for him as a top five pick.
Okay. Our rankings had him at number 14 in our top 200, and that was based on more of a category setup. So something to keep in mind there. Just from our perspective, he did shoot at a career high 11.7% last year, but he had career highs across the board too in shots on goal and hits and blocks and all that kind of good stuff. I didn't see any points projections or anything from you, Michael. Did you do that at all this year, or do you ever do that?
Not specifically. Like I sort of allude to them in my write-ups, but yeah, I don't make like a true point projections, but it wouldn't shock me if he gets like 90 points.
Okay. So honest. Yeah,
if he stays healthy.
I was going to add, yeah, that's always the question with him too. So we included points projections. Like we always go through each team and just give a fantasy relevant projection. So I'll just ask you over unders on this, if that's all right, we'll go through it. And so I said 25 goals, 87 points. You take the over on that one.
Ooh, that's right on the line. Yeah, it's slightly over, but yeah, that's a good projection.
Okay. Hopefully he should be in that range. Hey, Bruce.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think he'll hit 90 points if he stays healthy.
You and I are never going to have a chance at Cale Makar, though, drafting 11th in every single league, so that's fine.
No, we might have to find a way to cause some internet issues for the first 10.
Yeah.
even then, we wouldn't have a chance because it would auto-draft one earlier.
There you go. All right, moving on, a defenseman here, number two, Roman Josi. He's going a bit later here at 20.5. In our top 200 ranks, we've actually got him at number 32 overall. But yeah, number two, you've got him here for defenseman. Points projection for us, 20 goals, 77 points. What's your take on Roman Josi for this year?
I think that points projection is pretty good. I think he's still a really good pick, but I could see his numbers coming down a bit just because if you look at the Predators last year, so many of their players had inflated shooting percentages. You know, Duchesne, Johansson, even Forsberg, Janot, they had really high shooting percentages. And I think Josi led the league in secondary assists last year, if I'm not mistaken. So I could see those numbers coming down slightly. But still, if you're getting between 75 to 80 points from a defenseman, I mean, that's great value. So.
Yeah, I've taken him in a few mock drafts, and I wouldn't hesitate to. I know Tyler wouldn't.
Yeah.
He's still going to put up some numbers, but I agree. He's not going to put up the 96 points that he put up last season. What's your take on Forsberg, too? Because he's going fairly early as well, based on where we saw him last year and based on just he had some great production last season. Is he a guy you're afraid to take? Like, do you anticipate some regression from him as well?
Maybe slightly. I don't know if he'll be a 40 goal scorer again, but I think he's, you know, I think he's an effective player. I mean, I think in a worst case scenario, he's going to give you, you know, 30 plus goals. I think he's probably more likely around the 35 goal range. So he's good for shots as well. But yeah, like I said, he was just one of those forwards. I think everything just went in the net for the Predators last year. So many players had those inflated shooting percentages. So they just have to come down slightly. But again, I think he's out of that forward group, guys we mentioned, like the Duchesnes, the Johanssons. I think Forsberg's the guy I trust the most to kind of keep his numbers close to what they normally are.
No question. Okay, number three on the D list here, Victor Hedman. He's going at an ADP of 14.5. We've projected 17 goals and 75 points for him. He's number 33 in our top 200 ranks. Lots of career highs for him last year across the board. 9.2 shooting percentage and 2.7 shots on goal per game, both second highest of his career. What separates Josi and Hedman for you at that 2-3 slot?
I think just honestly probably total points. I think Yossi's going to have a few more points than Hedman. It's funny because Hedman had like an amazing season last year. Like you said, career highs and pretty much across the board, but he barely got talked about because Makar and Josi got so many of the headlines. It's pretty amazing. But yeah, he just plays in every situation. He's going to play a ton of minutes, Hedman. And he can help you out in pretty much all the categories across the board. So he's a tremendous value if you can get him, you know, in the top 20 in your draft. I think he'll be full value for that. But yeah, he's an interesting guy. Like, obviously, Ryan McDonough's gone this year. So I don't know if he's going to get even more ice time or responsibility. We'll see.
I kind of see Sergachev picking up some of that slack. Like,
I
don't know how much more you can play Hedman, right? Like, he's already playing some big minutes. So, but I think Sergachev can take on a few more.
For sure. That's a guy that I could see, you know, maybe get later in your draft that actually could have a career high in a lot of categories for that reason.
Is 50 points, is that too much for Sergachev? Like, could you see him putting up 50 points this year?
Maybe that's on the high end if everything goes well. It's possible. I would say maybe around like 40 to 45. But if he gives you, you know, he's usually pretty good for hits and blocks too. So if he gives you those solid numbers as well, I think, you know, he'll be a good value pick late.
Agreed. All right, number four, Adam Fox. This is a guy that I keep hearing. I see lots of chatter saying he's overrated now. And maybe that's just because we're so used to seeing the first three guys produce all these points. But ADP 17.1. Our projection for him was 11 goals and 70 points. And in our top 200 ranks, we got him at number 59. Last year, he was on a 78 point pace, 33 power play points. How do you see the season going for him this year?
Yeah, I think he's another guy that just kind of gets overlooked because of the first three guys we mentioned. I feel like we're in the golden age of like fantasy defense, and I don't remember a time like this where there was so many high volume scorers. But I think with Fox, maybe one of the reasons he's overlooked slightly or people say he's overrated is he doesn't shoot the puck a ton. He's not a huge goal guy as far as a defenseman goes. He's really just fills the assist category. But he's a great power play quarterback. So, I mean, if you have a league with power play points, he's a great pick. You can't deny it. Like he's a 70 point defenseman. He's probably going to get around 30 power play points potentially. The Rangers, again, top six is loaded with talent. It's great for the power play. It's great for scoring in general. So yeah, I think he's full value.
Okay. All right. Aaron Ekblad, number five. His ADP right now, 34.4. Our projection was 18 goals and 65 points. Number 34 in our top 200 ranks. Last season, he was on pace for 77 points before dealing with some injury trouble, but his secondary assist rate was actually 300% higher than the previous season and 128% higher than his three-year average. 29 of his 42 total assists were secondary, and then his team's even strength shooting percentage with him on the ice was a career high at 10.3%. So I've kind of got some red flags popping up for Aaron Ekblad this year. And then with the departure of guys like Uyghur and Huberdeau, just the shuffling around in that lineup, and then Duclair being injured, like I just think we're going to see a bit of a step back from him. But you still like him, obviously, at number five on your list. What do you think of the projection as well? Where do you see him falling for points this year?
Yeah, I think his points will come down a bit. I agree with most of what you said. I think the biggest thing for me with Ekblad is injuries as well, right? He's had a couple of significant ones the last two seasons, kept him out of the lineup. But as you said, he had some great point projections. With Florida, moving off Huberdeau and Uyghur, that's going to impact him a bit, obviously, maybe the power play as well. It'll be interesting to see how his minutes are impacted with Uyghur gone. Is he going to get more, maybe difficult assignments against the opposition's, top line? Is that going to hurt his production a bit? It could. I think he's a decent option, obviously. Florida's still going to be a high scoring team, just maybe not as crazy as they were last year. I think they averaged like 4 goals a game or something. That's probably going to come down a little bit. I still have him as five on my board. I think he's still going to produce quite well there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like Aaron Ekblad. I just, the Florida Panthers just don't seem quite as shiny this year. Maybe that's just me, but. Number six here, John Carlson. He's going right now 38.8 in Yahoo. Our projection was 15 goals and 71 points, and we've got him ranked number 72 in our top 200. He had a good season last year. He's on pace for 75 points. He's going to be on the power play with Ovi every year. Yep. He seems pretty much automatic, like as a 70-point defenseman.
He is. I mean, three out of the last three full seasons, he's hit 70 points. The COVID shortened season, he was on pace for 70 points. So, yeah, you can pretty much take it to the bank. He's going to give you 70 points. He's really consistent, pretty good shooter. He could probably potentially get you 200 shots as well. Like you said, power play with Ovi. Yeah, nothing wrong with him there. I think he's probably the guy that's maybe off the radar a little bit in drafts. I know in a couple I've had so far, I was surprised at how low he fell. Cause he's not the most flashy guy, right? Like he's just a consistent, like 70 point guy. He's not going to get you 80, but he's probably not going to even get 60. He's just going to give you that nice 70 slot. And yeah, I think, a lot of people just, I don't want to say overlook him, but maybe he doesn't stand out as much as some of the others we mentioned. So, and I think he's been around for a long time. So people maybe take him for granted or think he's, going to maybe slow down a bit, but yeah, he certainly hasn't shown any signs of that yet.
Well, and I'll ask you too, like, what's your take on the Capitals for this season? Because I think in my mind, they made some moves that I like. I mean, Kemper, I think, is a good bet for them. But, I mean, they had Dylan Strome potentially as their 2C, and now I saw he's down to 3C. Nicholas Backstrom said he's feeling better, but I really don't see him being an impact player for them this year. So, I don't know. They just don't seem like they're quite as – and Tom Wilson's out too until – is it like the new year, I think? So,
yep. I think
do you see them taking a step back?
I think they could. I think what slowed them down last year was they got really inconsistent goaltending. So I know that's why they went out and got Kemper. Maybe if he plays at a really high level, they can obviously get back to the playoffs and maybe have a chance to go on a bit of a run. But yeah, I think they're an aging team with some key guys out. It's gonna be tough for them, right? You look at that division. I think there's a lot of teams on the rise. You know, like the Devils feel like they're coming pretty quick here. I'm not sure how Columbus is gonna look, but they certainly, you know, adding Goudreau helps a lot, right? So yeah, it's gonna be trickier, I think, for them to. They're the one team that I could see having to fend off some of those other teams that are coming. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how they do this year.
Number seven here, Quinn Hughes, ADP 50.6. Our points prediction for him, 8 goals and 66 points. Our top 200 rank, 110th overall. Last season, 68 points in 76 games played, so a good season from him. I don't know. I think, like, Quinn Hughes for me, unless you're in a points league, I'm not really all that interested in general. Like, good defenseman, don't get me wrong, but if he's not producing points, does he bring you a lot else?
Yeah, definitely not in some of the more physical categories if you're in a multi-cat league. But I think he did become a little bit more of a complete fantasy option last year. I think he hit 30 power play points for the first time. I think he was a plus 10 if your league has plus minus. You know, the past two seasons prior to that, I think he was like a double-digit minus. And one thing that's interesting to me about Hughes and maybe the Canucks in general is sort of a full season under Boudreau. I think we saw a lot of guys take off there, like Pettersson, JT Miller, obviously Horvat when Boudreau took over. So I'm wondering if a full season of that with Hughes can help bump him up a little bit. But yeah, I agree with you. He's obviously a lot more valuable in a points league for sure.
Okay. Number eight, Darnell Nurse. We all like Darnell Nurse on this one. What's that, Bruce?
Homer pick.
Wow. Of course. This is Michael's list, man. I didn't make this list.
I thought this was a Devin influenced list.
No. This is Michael's list. Yeah. I mean, I'm providing our rankings,
Michael,
too.
I'm picking on Devin here because I thought he was throwing this one in here for his own use.
Darnell would have been number two.
Yeah. Darnell would have been higher for sure. Yeah. I like Nurse. So you got number eight. I mean, I have to ask, you got him ahead of a couple guys that, if it were my list, I think I'd have a couple of these other guys maybe a little higher. But go through some of the reasoning for having Darnell Nurse at number eight.
So I think it's almost he's maybe the opposite of, we just talked about Hughes. Obviously, if you're in a multi-cat league, I think, you know, Nurse is maybe in a best case scenario going to get you 50 points if all goes well. So he's not going to hit, but, you know, he might get 200 hits and 200 blocks. That's really hard to do. I think obviously playing on the Oilers, even though he's, you know, not a big offensive guy, he's going to have a lot of upside for numbers because he's got a lot of talented players around him. So I just think if you're in a multi-cat league, anytime a player can fill two of those categories, like hits and blocks, that's not easy to find. So I think just that bumped him up for me over some of the other guys.
And I think his shot volume's pretty good too. It's not great, but I mean, Give it a shot. And then, we had him predicted for 12 goals and 46 points.
Yeah, that's a bummer, yeah.
And, I mean, he pretty good even strength producer, too.
Yep, and he's probably decent for penalty minutes if you have that as well. So he just kind of provides a little. I think if you're a defenseman or any player that's around the 50-point mark and you have a lot of production in some of those other categories, the PIMs, the hits, the blocks, there's a lot of value there in multi-cat leagues.
Well, Tanner Janot's a guy you mentioned earlier. He's not a defenseman, but definitely a guy that can provide some categories in about 25 goals, definitely. Right? So,
definitely. Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, number nine here, Morgan Rielly, 2022 ADP right now, 54.9. We had him pegged for 12 goals and 69 points. Our top 200 rank is 102nd. Yeah, John, you're smiling. Yeah.
Nice.
Last season, 68 points, 10 goals. Career highs in shots on goal per game, PIMs, and power play share. There's some inconsistencies in his individual shooting percentage and shot volume in 2019 and 2020 and 2020-2021 that kind of make his three-year average look misleading. So I think we might see a little bit more from him this season. And Toronto's just – they're a good team, right? It may pain me to say sometimes, guys, but Toronto's a good team. So do you see 12 goals, 69 points? I guess, first of all, do you like the prediction and what do you see happening for Morgan Rielly this year?
Yeah, I think I would have him at around that number. I think in the high 60s is a good spot for him. The thing about Riley that I like is he's really durable. He hasn't missed, I think there's only been one season in the past, you know, half dozen or so that he's missed significant time. Otherwise, he's almost never misses time. That Leafs power play is lethal. And as long as he's quarterbacking that, he's going to get huge numbers. And, you know, he plays another guy that plays a ton. You know, he's got a strong top six that if he just headmans the puck, he's going to get a lot of points that way. So yeah, he's in a really great spot. And I think he's like, to me, he's a tier below, obviously, some of the guys we mentioned earlier. Like, I think if he hits like 70 points, that's a really big victory for him. But yeah, I think he can be in the mid to high 60s for sure.
Okay. And then last but not least here, this is a guy I've had him a couple times, and I'm a big fan of Chris Letang. So number 10 here on the list, his ADP is 59.5. Our projection was 15 goals and 70 points, number 77 in our top 200 ranks. His shooting percentage last year, so his ish, Bruce, 4.7%. That was his lowest since 2017-2018. He had 2.19 hits per game last year. That was a career high. It seems like he's finally kind of gotten over the injury bug, knock on wood. He's had, is it two or three seasons now where he's been relatively healthy? So, and it kind of feels like maybe the Penguins still have a little bit of gas in the tank. But what do you think, Michael?
Yeah, you know, he had pretty much a career season at age 35 last year. You don't see that too often. So, and I do. I think they have a lot of the tank still, at least for the next few years. I don't know how, you know, not super fantasy related, but I don't know how well that contract he got is going to age in a few years. But I think right now, if you're the Penguins, you'll take it to keep that sort of window open for the next few seasons. But yeah, like they have everyone coming back. They're going to be a strong team again. And Letang, I think, out of some of the other guys we mentioned, he provides a lot of category coverage. You know, you mentioned his hits. He's decent for blocks as well. He's going to get a lot of points. So he's a solid option.
And that's a pretty lethal power play, or can be, right? Yeah. Like the personnel they've got there. So one guy that I'm actually kind of high on for this year for a bounce back is Jeff Petry. I think just getting a change of scenery out of the fishbowl, I think he's got more to give. I know John's shaking it. Yeah, I know you don't like Jeff Petry, but I think he's due for a good season. I think he'll be much better than he was last year.
I agree. I think those guys that are coming off terrible seasons, you almost just use the logic of like, they really can't get much worse. You know, whether it's Jeff Petry or Philip Grubauer, those types of players, you know, like, I don't know how much better they're going to be, but I'm quite sure they're not going to be worse than what they were last year. So yeah, if you have a later pick and you want to take a bet on Petry, it's probably a good one.
Yeah, music to Bruce's ears, the mention of Philip Grubauer. Just FYI for anyone drafting with us. Jeff Petry, just for everyone's information, going at around 146th right now in Yahoo. So that in the 13th round, basically, that's pretty good value, I think, for what he could do.
It's worth it for sure, yeah.
Okay, there you go. There are our top 10 defensemen. We'll move on to goaltenders here. So, I mean, a surprise to some, not a surprise to others. Number one, Igor Shesterkin. His ADP right now, 8.8. Our prediction for him was 65 starts, a 79% net share, and 36 wins. Can you buy that, Michael?
Yep, I can. Yeah, I can probably... I definitely heard some comments about me having him ahead of Vasilevsky, but I think, like, I guess some of my reasoning behind it is I think if I'm looking at next season and looking at Vasilevsky, I feel like, you know, no goalie has played more than him in the last 3 years if you count playoffs, right? They've been to the cup final 3 straight years. So I'm thinking this season, and I think Tampa's proved they don't really need to win the division or win the President's Trophy to have a long playoff run. They just have to get in. So I'm thinking, why is Tampa going to keep playing him 65 times, right? I feel like they could play him 55 times, drop his volume down a bit, keep him fresh for the playoffs. Because if you notice, in March last year, Vasilevsky actually had a pretty rough patch. Like, he was struggling a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think Shesterkin's probably going to play closer to what you said, 65 starts. So I think he'll play a bit more. And the best way I could describe it is, if I had to pick one goalie to win a game seven, I would pick Vasilevsky. But if I'm drafting for the season, I'd give a slight edge to Shesterkin, if that makes sense.
All of it's logical. I mean, I would go back and forth. I had Shesterkin last year, and he was phenomenal. Like, he just had an incredible season. Just shy of 40 goals saved above expected on the year last year. So
yeah, that save percentage was so consistent. He had a stretch there where he barely ever allowed more than one goal. And when I say that, like I said, I think on my 250 rankings, I had one at 15 and one at 17. It's just Jurgen Vasilevskiy. So like, it's such a razor thin margin. I don't think you can really go wrong between the two.
No, I mean, no, you make a very good case for that for sure. So then number two, obviously not a surprise, Andrei Vasilevskiy going just before Shesterkin on average at 8.7, his ADP. I had him pegged for 65 starts and 40 wins, but you know, you make a lot of sense just in what you said there about maybe resting him a little bit for the playoffs.
I could see that happening. That's what I'm thinking. But again, you know, who knows what Tampa's going to do? I thought there was times, you know, in the Stanley Cup final and in the playoffs where I thought they'd pull him to rest him, and they just left him in there. So they certainly have their own methods with him, and he likes to play a lot. But yeah, if I was a coach or general manager, I would much rather have a well-rested Vasilevskiy in the playoffs.
All right. Number three, UC Saros. And I have to say, I agree with this. I've seen some different variations of these lists too. And Saros was so good last year. 38 wins, 918 save percentage, 2.64 goals against that. He was third in wins, tied for sixth in shutouts, ninth in save percentage. Just a really solid season from him. His ADP is 41.6. And two, the value. Like, I think, you know, the margin between him and Vasilevskiy last year, for example, really wasn't a big gap if you look at the numbers. So how do you see his season going in? You said you think the Predators are maybe regress a little bit. Do you see that reflecting in Saros's numbers too?
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit. I think with Saros, one of the things that makes him so good is I think he had the most appearances last year of any goalie, and his play doesn't dip, right? That's what you're always looking for with a goalie. You know, sometimes when goalies get to that 60-game mark, their numbers start to tail off a bit, but his definitely don't. And again, if you look, there's no one there to challenge him for starts. So again, he's going to easily probably hit, you know, 65 starts as long as he's healthy. And yeah, I think like the Predators, yeah, they might drop back a bit, but I think they're still going to be a pretty good team. I think they're still going to be competitive. So I don't think it hurts him too much.
Okay. Yeah. 65 starts was our projection and 36 wins. So
yeah, that seems right.
Ilya Sorokin at number four. And see, this one I don't know about, because his ADP at 30.3, for whatever reason, people are picking him ahead of Saros in Yahoo, and I just don't really understand it. Lots of potential with Sorokin. 925 save percentage last year, just about a 17 goal save above expected. Like, lots of good stuff there, and I think really he's shown he's just going to take the number one job from Samsonov or from Varlamov at this point. But what's your take on Ilya Sorokin?
Yeah, I'll admit I had Saros and Sorokin very close. I kind of split hairs with it, but I prefer Saros slightly. I think a lot of people like Saros because, you know, number one, I think a lot of people are banking on the Isles to have a really big bounce back season. I think a lot of people are looking at last year as more of an anomaly. And two, I think the point you mentioned, I think is true. I don't think that's going to be close to a 50-50 split anymore. I think Sorokin is really claim that job now, so I think he's going to start a lot more, whereas in the past they shared a lot of time in the net, him and Varlamov. And I guess, you know, I know Lane Lambert is a new coach, but I think he's a Trotz disciple, so maybe people are hoping that they have similar style, similar defensive structure. And I mean, if you look at Sorokin's numbers last year, they improved a lot from his rookie season, and that's saying a lot because the Islanders had a really bad season. So when you can raise your numbers on a bad team, I think that shows a lot of potential.
Yep, like the goaltender, no question. I'm questioning where people are drafting him, that's all. Cool. I got him at 54 starts and 30 wins for this season.
Yep, I think so. I think he should hit like that mid-50s in starts, and that'll be great for him.
Yep. Jacob Markstrom at number five here, ADP of 30.5, so just behind Sorokin. 62 starts, 76% net share, and 35 wins is where we've got him. What's your take on Markstrom? I think, like, the Flames now at this point, I don't think you can say they got worse.
Oh, no. I think the Flames are in a great spot. You could even argue that they might have gotten a bit better. And Daryl Sutter plays Markstrom a ton. Like, I was amazed last year. There was a while where they pretty much had the division sewn up. And I remember there was a stretch where they played like the Kraken twice in a week, and I think Markstrom started both games, and I was just in awe of how much he was playing him. So that's great for you as a fantasy owner. He's going to play a lot. His numbers are going to be pretty consistent. Yeah, he's going to be one of those high end goaltenders. You know, he's again lots of volume, no one really to challenge him for starts, and on a great team, that's a great recipe for success.
Yeah, I know Bruce, you're a big fan of Markstrom. You were targeting him last year.
I was trying.
Well, as you and just the Sutter thing, right? Like you kind of said, they're going to suppress shots and they're going to keep the goals against down. And he had a hell of a year. First in shutouts with 9, fourth in wins, and 12th in save percentage. So some good stuff there for Markstrom.
Yeah, those shutouts are big. Like if you're in a league that has shutouts, like 9 is pretty unheard of. And it's because sometimes, you know, one of those sometimes can win the category for you in a week. And if you're getting 9, like that's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
And they only play the Oilers 4 times this year, so you won't have to worry about him getting his butt kicked.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Just fell apart. He couldn't face it. It's just Connor was in his head, I think. I don't know. All right, number 6, Jake Oettinger, another goalie that Bruce is a big fan of.
Yes.
45.7 is his ADP right now. 56 starts, 68% net share, and 34 wins is what we've got him pegged for. Of course, that's including Jason Robertson in our projections, Bruce.
Yes.
Good season from him. Like 12th in wins with 30 last year. He had one shutout and a 914 save percentage. So not crazy, but what's your take for Jake Oettinger this year?
Yeah, pretty amazing that, you know, a year ago he started the season in the AHL. Like he's in less than a year, he's gone from kind of third on the depth chart to not really high-end goalie. I think if you watch that series against the Flames last year in the playoffs, like he was playing at an elite level. And I think, you know, he's a young guy. He's got the new deal. Again, not really a challenge there for him for starts. So he's going to get most of the games. You know, Dallas is a strong team. I think another recipe for success for a goalie that, you know, is probably going to be a guy you might want to keep if you're in a keeper league for a while. If you get your hands on him this year, he seems like he's going to be good for a long time.
All right. So then you've got Thatcher Demko at 7 and Freddie Anderson at 8. So there must be some PTSD from Anderson's time in Leafland or something that you got him that low.
Yeah. I have Anderson for me, I don't know. I think the Anderson we saw at the end of the year when he got injured and missed the playoffs is more of the Anderson like I remember in Toronto. I was amazed that him and Ranta essentially made it through the whole season pretty much unscathed, which was great for fantasy. Fantasy hockey, obviously, but when they got to the playoffs, things were a bit of a different story. So I have him just downgraded slightly because I don't see him duplicating that at his age. I feel like, you know, he's going to be tougher for him to stay healthy, tougher for him to play a large volume of games, but he's still in a great spot. And yeah, side note, one guy I just to mention is Pyotr Kochetkov. He's a third string goalie there. I think that guy could be potentially, you know, like the Ville Husso of last year. If one of these guys goes down, either Anderson or Ranta, I think, again, I wouldn't draft him or anything, but I would keep your eyes on the waiver wire if Ranta or Anderson go down, because I could see him getting in and potentially going on a bit of a run there.
Interesting. Okay. And then let's head back here to Demko at number 7. So his ADP is 57.2. We've got him at 63 starts and 35 wins. What kind of separates Oettinger from Demko for you?
So the only reason I put Oettinger a little bit higher is because I think the Stars are a bit better. I know the Stars are probably a bit stronger team right now than the Canucks. I'm not sure what the Canucks are going to be yet. I feel like they're going to be a better team than they were last year. I feel like they might be closer to the team that looked really good in the second half of the season when Boudreaux took over. But yeah, if I knew they were going to be that team coming in, I might have Demko ahead of Oettinger, because I think Demko is such a difference maker. You know, he's got some games where last year, you know, he can steal games for you. And there's a couple of times where I remember one week, I think it was against the Leafs, actually. That's probably why I remember it. I think he made like 50 saves on a Saturday night and stole a game. And he basically swung the matchup I was in. I was playing against him, and he basically swung all the categories with that one game. So he's one of those rare goalies that can, you know, steal a game by himself. And I feel like he faces a lot of shots too. And his numbers kind of stay pretty strong. So I think he's like in that Oettinger category of, again, if you get your hands on him this year and if the Canucks keep improving, he's going to be a guy that, you know, you're probably going to want to keep.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Demko. I've had him once or twice before and he's always been good. So And from a fantasy perspective, like you said, he faces a lot of shots just because the defense in Vancouver is not that great. So
yeah.
Number nine, this is a guy I'm a big fan of. If Bruce is a big Ottinger guy, I'm a big Jari supporter. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I was beating his drum 2 seasons ago, and then last year he came in and had 34 wins and a .919 save percentage. Right now he's going on average at 66.2 in Yahoo. We've got him pegged here for 58 starts, a 70% net share, and 36 wins. Is that in the ballpark, Michael?
Yeah, I think so. I'm a huge Jari fan as well. I think he got a bad rap for that one playoff series he had against the Islanders. And I think ever since then, people have really been downgrading him. But he's, if you look at his career sample size now, he's played 159 games. I think he's got a career 915 save. He's won twice as many games as he's lost. He's just been a really good regular season goalie. And really in fantasy, that's all you care about. You know, you're not really too concerned about the playoffs.
That's right.
And he's on a good team, you know, and I think it obviously with Malkin and Letang coming back again, it just keeps the Penguins, you know, being a strong squad, and that's going to really help him. Yeah. And I think I have him in the top 10 now. I think he's worked his way up there for me. And yeah, another guy that's going to get a lot of the starts.
Well, and for me too, like going on average 66th overall, that just fits a bit better with my draft strategy in general. Like I don't mind fading goaltenders a little bit, right? I don't have to grab, if I don't grab those top two guys, you know, I'll fade goaltenders. I'm fine with that. So,
yep, it's a good strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worked. Okay. So, and then number 10, John, you'll like this one.
Yes, I do.
Marc-Andre Fleury. 52.2 in Yahoo right now, 55 starts, 67% net share, and 32 wins is what we've got him pegged for. He didn't have great numbers last year. So 28, 23, and 5, a 2.90 goals against average, a .908 save percentage, a minus 11 goals saved above expected. How do you see that season or this season playing out for him?
So I think a lot of last year probably had to do with, you know, him being on Chicago for quite a while. This is sort of the first time in a few years he's not been in a tandem and been on a strong team. So, you know, in Vegas, the team was strong, but he was always splitting time with Leonard. And then, of course, he goes to Chicago. And, yeah, he gets the bulk of the starts, but they're not very good. And then last year he goes to Minnesota with Talbot. So now he's kind of, again, he's on a strong team, not really anyone there to challenge for playing time. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what he can do. He definitely doesn't seem even despite his age, like he doesn't seem like he's wearing down. So I still feel like he's good for 50 to 55 starts. And on that Wild team, that's going to be pretty good value. You know, I think if you're getting him, you know, as your goalie one, I think that's still a good spot for him.
Okay. John, anything to add there?
I'm taking the over.
It's possible. Wouldn't surprise me.
Of course. Yeah. Okay, well, that does it. There you go. Top 10 defensemen and goalies. Michael, thanks for doing that. We'll get into Ask the Hacks here. We have one question, and then maybe we'll just open it up to some general draft strategy stuff just that time of year. So here's the question we received this week. Well, there's a few. I just didn't get them all in here. But it says, hey, dude, so I won my league last year, 10-man. So he drafts 10th this year. Interested in some insight? Maybe you could chat about it on an episode. I have a couple strategies prepared. Depending on who's available where in the first two rounds. But he's bold move says Shesty in the first or Vasilevsky. He actually does like 0G if he can do it. Or 2D-men, Hedman Yossi. His question here, I think Fox is overrated. Second round candidates, if you guys could either rank or pick two, would be sweet. Okay, so Jake Guentzel, pick two. Guentzel, Ekblad, Tkachuk, Kreider, Kyle Connor, Gabriel Landeskog, Timo Meier, or John Carlson. So, Mike, love that list. Who are your top two guys?
Which Tkachuk was that? Was it?
Brady Tkachuk.
Oh, Brady Tkachuk. Did you say Meier and...
Meier was in there, yep.
I was gonna say Meier and Connor. I like those two guys. I think Connor had the second most even strength goals last year next to Matthews. I think he's going to push 50 goals this year. And Meyer's actually sneaky good in multi-cat leagues. He's actually really good for hits and stuff. And I think he's going to probably a 70 to 80 point guy again.
I totally agree with Kyle Connor. I'm a big fan of his. I had him last year. He's great. Nate, actually, from Apples and Genos, I read his bold predictions article here this morning, actually, and he was saying we may see a step back from Kyle Connor just based on deployment with the new coach, which I think is possible, but the guy's a goal scorer, and yep. That's not going to change, I don't think. So, yeah, Kyle Connor, I'd want to get my mitts on. Timo Meier, you make a good point. Shot volume is great. He's great for hits leagues, and, yeah, could be a 70, 80-point guy. John Carlson's great there, but maybe not in the second round. I do like Jake Gensel too. I think he's got 40-goal, 80 or 90-point upside.
Yeah, I think Gensel, I like Gensel a lot too. I think he could potentially be a 50-goal scorer too in the right spot.
Yeah, so I mean, I would almost lean Gensel Connor if it were me, but again, depending on league setup and all that kind of stuff, that kind of impacts it.
It's a good problem to have if he's got two picks out of those players, put it that way.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Bruce or John, any different take on that or players you like more?
I'm on the Jake Gensel train, so that's a good one for me. As much as I don't like Kyle Connor, yeah, he's probably the next best option. Wow.
Okay, fair enough. Bruce, anything for us?
My picks would be similar, although I probably would consider Brady Tkachuk possibly as well.
Yeah, in a bangers league, you can't fault you for that.
He gets everything that moves, and I think he's probably the better of the two Tkachuks. So his point totals this year, especially with the way that lineup is set up, he could maybe see a bit of an uptick in points too.
Okay. All right, and then just a couple, let's talk draft strategy really quick here, Michael. So how do you approach a draft? Let's say a standard Yahoo draft, kind of round by round, what are you looking for? Like you said, you mentioned you don't mind fading goaltenders, but what's your strategy going into a draft?
Yeah, so a couple things I do. I make my own sort of draft board. I really kind of take a look at the league categories and you know, if it's a multi-cat league, I try and filter players out a lot. So I'll make a list of players that, you know, all have, let's say 60 points, 200 shots, 100 hits, and something, you know, and 75 penalty minutes. And I'll make a list like that. Just kind of, that gives, look for players that gives me the most category coverage. And yeah, one of the things I do is I really fade goalies. I had a draft, my main league I had last night. I ended up with Forsberg, Grubauer, and Cal Peterson. And Grubauer and Peterson were, I think two of my final three picks. So I really just let it go out there because I think you mentioned it earlier. Once you get past a certain point, you know, I don't want to say everyone's the same, but like, I'd much rather have, like, I kept, you know, looking at players like, do I take Andrew Kopp in this spot who's going to get me 50 points and has dual eligibility? Or do I take one of these eight goalies that are all the same? Right. Like, yeah. I'd much rather have Andrew Kopp on my roster and then wait and just grab, you know, I could have easily had Vanacek or Nedeljkovic, right? Like, yep. And again, I'm, you know, I my league has, you know, eight skater categories and four goalies, so I tend to lean more to the skaters.
Yeah.
But and I mentioned earlier too, you can always comb the waiver wire for goalies that you know, might have a lot of value as well.
Yeah, I noticed in our FHHL league, Bruce, we've got, what was it, 11? I think we had 11 skater categories and five goalie categories. So it's just,
yeah, there you go. You could, you know, some of those leagues, like, you can literally lose, you know, almost all the goalie categories, still win your matchup, right? If you're really strong in the skater category. So.
Exactly. Speaking of goaltenders, I'd love your take on the tandem in Toronto. How do you see that shaking out this year? I actually drafted Matt Murray in our FHHL league. I mean, again, it was my second or third last pick, kind of like you said. Just for upside value, like if he does stay healthy and if they do well, that could be a steal of a pick. But what do you think?
Yeah, for sure. Like, Toronto's a great team. I think, you know, both guys come with a lot of question marks. But yeah, I think Murray's going to get the first crack at kind of rolling with the ball there. But yeah, they're going to get wins, right? Like, I think the Leafs last year finished fourth overall in the standings, franchise record for points. And I think they had the 22nd or 23rd save percentage in the league. So it doesn't really matter how the goalies play, as long as, you know, you can get somebody that's going to, if you get somebody that's going to give you 50, 55 starts for Toronto, they're going to give you a lot of value, right? Just on wins alone, because I feel like that's one of the things you can control the most, right? And with goalies is wins, right? What team they're on. You, save percentage, goals against, that stuff fluctuates a lot for goalies, right? But yeah, if you find a team like Toronto that has, you know, Murray and Samsonov, that you can probably get late in your draft, that's good value. I mean, even Samsonov, is nothing wrong with picking him late. Murray's been inconsistent. He's had injury issues. If he does go down, you know, Samsonov's going to play quite a bit on a good team by default. So yeah, they're intriguing options that you could probably get really late in your draft.
And then what about John Gibson? Because I obviously I follow you on Twitter and I've seen some of your analysis on John Gibson. I think I agree with most of it. I did draft him just out of desperation here recently. But how do you see things working for him in Anaheim this year?
Yeah, I mean, he'll play a lot. But yeah, I just look at his numbers the last three seasons and they've been, you know, pretty mediocre. I think he's had a 904, no better than a 904 in the last three seasons. Yeah, that's, to me, that's a little bit of an alarming, that's more than a trend, right? That's three seasons. And I don't think the Ducks are better than they were last year or the year before. I think they're headed for a rebuild. They have some young talent there, obviously. But, and I look at Anthony Stolarz had a great season last year, numbers wise. So that makes me a little more concerned when I look at Gibson. But yeah, I think he'll play a lot, but I don't know how much value he'll bring.
Okay. And then, Any defensemen or forwards, anyone that you're kind of looking at in mid to late round picks? Like, is there someone you're keeping an eye on or maybe has some like a sleeper pick or some high upside that maybe guys haven't caught on to yet?
One guy I mentioned is Sean Durzi in LA. I think he had 27 points only last year, but more than half of them came on the power play. So he could be a bit of a category specialist for you.
Okay. Bruce, John, you guys got anything else for Michael before we...
No, I don't think so. That was great.
Okay. Bruce?
No, I got to.
You're good?
Good.
All right. Before we go, I guess one last thing here, Hacks Holiday. So to help us celebrate our 100th episode, we are giving away a trip. So thank you to Lucky Bastard Distillers. I forgot to mention the top of the episode. That's my bad, but the episode is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers. Yeah, we're going to send a listener and a guest to on a Hacks holiday to Vegas this February or next February. Two tickets to a Golden Knights game, February 18th, I think, against Tampa Bay. Two round-trip tickets to Vegas, three nights accommodation, and a one-year free subscription to the Left Wing Lock iPhone app. So go to fantasyhockeyhacks.com/hacksholiday for all the details on how to enter. The winners will be announced on our 97th episode on January 16th. And the hack the code you'll need for this week is number 19. So keep that in mind. Go check it out. Michael, one last time, where can people find you if they want to follow you?
At @Amato_Mike on Twitter.
Awesome. And then check us out on Twitter as well at FHHacks and on Instagram, Fantasy Hockey Hacks. And we will be back next week with our week one preview. So Michael, thank you so much again for being here and have a good season, you know, and enjoy your gig with Sportsnet and Goalie Post.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Take care.
Take care.
Bye, Felicia.